Welcome to the Let's Get Sensory podcast. My name is Kelsey and I'm an occupational therapist, sensory specialist, and ADHDer. If you're looking to up-level you and your kids' lives by learning how to live a sensory lifestyle to help with attention, anxiety, hyperactivity, and impulsivity, then you've come to the right place. So here we go, let's get sensory. Sitting down, recording, being here since I haven't done this in so long. But in very demand avoidant fashion, there were many parts of me that were just telling me, like, no, don't do it, really fighting on whether or not to do this episode. And so today I'm just going to be diving into this topic, sharing my personal experience. This is something that I guess I've been very hesitant about sharing for a long time, but before I get started, I want to share about my upcoming workshop, Burnout to Bloom, that I am so excited for. So it is a live workshop where I will be diving into nervous system burnout, of course, from a sensory perspective, which you will see is a very, very different perspective, and you'll leave the workshop with a completely different view of nervous system burnout, but more importantly, how to really support it, whether this is for you or for your kids. So really inside the workshop, we'll be covering pathological demand avoidance and its relationship to nervous system burnout. So you'll learn about the different nervous system burnout archetypes, because fun fact, we actually don't all burn out the same way. And we'll be covering my favorite sensory strategies to help support burnout, since nervous system burnout is highly connected to our senses. So sensory strategies are essentially like a shortcut to helping nervous system burnout. So the Burnout to Bloom workshop is on June 7th. And of course, because I know there will be lots and lots of questions, and plus, just because it's super fun, we'll be having a group Voxer day the following day, which if you're not familiar with Voxer, it's a really fun app where we'll have this group message. You can send audio messages and just talk back and forth and feel like we're all together in the same room. And you'll have me and our sensory community just on speed dial all day to ask any questions and be a part of some amazing conversations. So if you've never been to any of my workshops, or if you've been to my workshops, you know that they're an experience. So we cry, we laugh, we have a light bulb moment after light bulb moment. You feel seen, you feel heard, you feel supported, and it really is such a special experience. So, pathological demand avoidance. I'm gonna go to PDA because that's too much of a tongue twister to say over and over again, but let's talk about it. What is it? What is PDA? So, long story short, PDA is when somebody's nervous system perceives demands as a threat. And so demands will make PDAers feel unsafe, which consequently will trigger us into fight, flight, freeze, fawn. So a little background. So where did PDA actually come from? How long has it been around? So it was discovered by child psychologist Elizabeth Newsom. Thank you, Elizabeth Newsom. So it really wasn't on anyone's radar until Elizabeth Newsom first published an article about it. And this was in the early 2000s, so really not that long ago at all. And it was really only centered around the autistic community. All the research was done within the autistic community. And she called for it to become a specific profile under the autism spectrum. So only really recently are people starting to step forward saying that PDA is not limited to autism. And I want to talk about this and also share my personal experience with this in hopes that it will help others like it helped me as an ADHDer. So just a little background about me. So I'm an ADHDer, if you didn't already know. And before I was diagnosed with ADHD, I was actually diagnosed with anxiety and depression. I come from a very neurodivergent family. My dad is also an ADHDer, OCDer with anxiety. I was born with an extra sensitive nervous system, all the signs were there from the day I was born, which is very easy to see now, but also wasn't so obvious growing up as a neurodivergent girl back in the 90s. It was very different than how it is now. And my parents were also immigrants, so they're Jamaican. And so in Jamaica back then, even more so than the US, it was very behind in the sense that ADHD didn't really exist at all in Jamaica. Like, never heard of it before, knew nothing about it. But I had all of these early signs, from the picky eating to the impulsivity, the meltdowns. I have the tongue tie, getting my tongue tied, as I say, tongue tie, to just all the different sensory things. However, the one thing that prevented me from really being seen was that I did really good in school. I was in like the Target and Encore programs from a young age, went to Magnet, graduated high school with above 4.0 GPA, but that doesn't mean that there weren't struggles. And sometimes it really blows my mind looking back, because like throughout it all, I was depressed. I was so dysregulated. I was anxious. I was suicidal for some parts. I cried most nights, like cried so much throughout my childhood and just throughout my life. Just from having that emotional dysregulation, and it still shocks me. And I share this because I think it's important to share our ADHD or neurodivergent stories to see how truly a spectrum neurodivergency is. Like, a lot of us have this idea that like, this is what ADHD looks like. This is what autism looks like. This is what anxiety looks like. OCD is this. Blah, blah, blah. But however much of a spectrum you think it is, like, go ahead and multiply that by 1 million. Like, one thing working as an occupational therapist that I've learned is that no neurodivergent child or adult is the same. Everyone is different. Everyone just comes with their own sensory profile, with their own kind of neurodivergency profile. So for me, some people may have looked, and like a lot of people with ADHD and other neurodivergency, dismissed it, which is so incredibly dangerous, because that led to years of me not feeling understood, to feeling broken, to just like not understanding what the heck was happening inside my brain, inside my body, inside my nervous system. And most importantly, too, it prevented me from getting help, from finding support that could have been so helpful as a child. And here I was, you know, throughout my childhood, my teenage years, trying to do things in a neurotypical way and like wondering, why isn't this working for me? But the real reason I am on this rant, I promise it connects to PDA, but I think it's just helpful to have some of the backstory. So back to how working as an occupational therapist. So I actually had my first internship in special education and also with a school occupational therapist when I was a senior in high school. So I have really been in this field for almost 13 years. I have worked with so many kids. I know my other therapists and teachers and even parents that see their kids working with therapists will get this, but I just have loved all of my kids so much that I've gotten to work with. It is truly just the best feeling working with them, seeing little Kelsey and all of them. Like, I really get so attached, and just it's so beautiful seeing each child and seeing all of their unique personalities and energy. And it just like really leaves a lasting imprint on me and on my heart. So again, back to when I first learned about PDA, I of course learned about it as an autistic profile. So just to go over what are some of the key features of PDA. So the most popular traits are resisting and avoiding ordinary everyday demands, again, because they feel like these everyday demands feel like threats. It feels like danger to them. And some other traits are using social strategies as a part of avoidance. So like, for example, distracting, giving excuses. Another common trait is experiencing mood swings and impulsivity. So I remember learning about this, and in very Kelsey fashion, being the nervous system obsessed, the sensory obsessed person that I am, no shame here. And being that, I don't see things on the surface level. I compare, and especially even when I first learned about it, like I feel like I've just always had just this deep connection and understanding of everything sensory, as probably a lot of neurodivergent professionals, therapists are. But I compared learning about PDA, I compared it to myself in my personal experience as a neurodivergent. I also compared it to other therapy models I've learned, so like somatic therapy, other trauma-based therapies. So I'm like learning about PDA and then connecting it to all these other things that I know. And so here I am learning about PDA and learning how to support autistic kids with PDA profile. And I'm also looking at some of my other kids who are not autistic and being like, oh, I see PDA there. But like, wait, can it be? Like, is that even possible? I also start thinking about myself, which I have always been very sensitive to demands, and that's what PDA is, right? Like when demands feels like a threat. So simple everyday things feel extraordinarily hard. They feel like they shouldn't be that hard, but it feels like a threat. I feel like this trigger, like this little light switch go off whenever I have certain demands, not all demands, but just like certain, you know, everyday demands that shouldn't feel like a threat, shouldn't feel dangerous, quote unquote. And so some of these like texting, sending emails, even like doing this podcast, like you may have noticed that I'm not the person to post stories every day or post. I always like post very infrequently on my Instagram, on my podcast. And because I'm neurodivergent, I'm also demand avoidant. So when it feels like a demand, I resist like crazy. So to help manage that, I do use a lot of different strategies. But like one that I'll use is posting when it feels good for me. And so just using other demand avoidant strategies so my brain doesn't associate it as a demand and doesn't associate it as a threat. So lots of reprogramming, rewiring going on always. But like I've always felt is like, why is it so hard for me to do certain things? And like I learned about ADHD paralysis. I'm like, oh, is that ADHD paralysis? Is that PDA? Like, what is it? There's some overlap here. Like, what's going on? Trying to get to the bottom of it. And so honestly, at first, I questioned this and kind of went back and forth. And then I started seeing it in my other students, like my clients that I was working with, which once you know something, like you know there's like no unseeing it. So I kept on popping up everywhere. And eventually there was just too much evidence. I had seen too many things. I had seen PDA in too many different kind of people where I was like, there's no way that PDA is only limited to autism. And even on the extreme demand avoidance questionnaire, it states, and I'm going to read it. So word for word, it states, in particular, current research on PDA has focused on individuals who display both PDA features and autism spectrum disorder. This work suggests that PDA features are dimensional within the autism spectrum. However, less attention has been paid to the overlaps between PDA features and other conditions besides autism. More research is needed to explore these possible overlaps. So it literally says it right on there. And I mean, like now, thankfully, even if you do a quick Google search, just a quick Google search is really all it takes. You'll see many places that are now stating that PDA is not limited to autism. So why does this matter? Because similarly to having an ADHD diagnosis, an autistic diagnosis, diagnoses can be so incredibly powerful and so helpful for just helping someone feel seen, for helping someone feel understood. Like that is so therapeutic and really so powerful on its own. And especially for helping provide supports. For example, like realizing your child has a PDA profile, and let's say this is an ADHD child or an SPD child, is extremely important for parents to know how to best support them. Because one thing about PDA is that most of your, you know, neurotypical strategies or a lot of these strategies do not work for kids with PDA profiles or individuals with PDA profiles. It will end up escalating the situation. So here is just like a simple explanation of how PDA can easily be experienced by anyone who has an extra sensitive nervous system, ADHD, autism, SPD, the whole spectrum. And so a lot of people know about PDA, but haven't necessarily considered like what causes PDA from a sensory perspective. So let's look at it. So again, PDA is when someone is perceiving a demand as a threat, which PDA can also be referred to and is now being called persistent drive for autonomy, which I love and I think is a much better representation. But again, to really understand PDA, let's look at a sensitive nervous system. So people who have sensitive nervous systems crave a feeling of safety. Like safety to our nervous systems, especially extra sensitive nervous systems that feel more hyper alert and are a lot more sensitive. Like safety is like oxygen. It needs it. It craves it. And the thing about those of us with extra sensitive nervous systems is it's exactly what it sounds like. Our nervous systems are much more sensitive to things, to all of these different things, whether it's food, certain textures, whether it's being sensitive to certain sounds or sensitive to demands. In all of those situations, our nervous system craves that feeling of safety. And what helps our nervous system feel safe is feeling in control. And so that feeling in control can kind of become an addiction. Like that becomes our safe place for so many of us. Feeling in control, it helps our nervous system just feel safe, feel secure. Again, it's like it's oxygen. And so what can make someone feel out of control is giving someone a demand that, again, giving someone a demand is out of their control. And so I could go into more detail about the why behind PDA from a sensory perspective, but I'm going to save that for my Burnout to Bloom workshop. And to also save time, because that really is just a whole rabbit hole going down that one. But that is just like the general background behind it, which I think is important to understand and helpful to understand. So the one thing with PDA is a lot of times that it doesn't make sense. Like the demands that are triggering doesn't typically make sense. Like for example, text messages, just everyday things, dishes, laundries, all of these different tasks like will feel like a threat. And like, why should I do this? Like I feel even like this innate pull to like not text my friends back who I love. And so it doesn't always make sense from the outside looking in. And for a long time, I confused this with ADHD paralysis. And really, my opinion is that ADHD paralysis can be commonly mistaken for PDA, or there's some confusion there. And so how I view it is that PDA can a lot of times be the cause of ADHD paralysis. So you have a demand and we freeze. So due to this feeling of pressure behind these demands, it feels like a threat. So we go into freeze state, aka ADHD paralysis, but PDA differs in the fact that demands can trigger us also not just freeze state, just into that ADHD paralysis freeze state, can also trigger us into flight state, like having a panic attack, can also trigger us into fight state, having a meltdown, can also trigger us into fawn state, trying to manipulate people or situations to get out of something. So having that awareness of like, oh, I have a PDA profile, or I have demand avoidant, or oh, my child has a PDA profile is really so powerful and so important. It can really be life-changing just to have that better understanding of like what exactly is going on and knowing, okay, now this is demand avoidance, like knowing, okay, there's specific strategies for demand avoidance that can help. And something I wanted to mention earlier is that we forget that neurodivergency is truly a spectrum. Like a lot of the times we look at ADHD, anxiety, CPTSD, and all of them, and we look at them as completely separate entities. But then at the same time, we're aware that again, there's a lot of overlap between a lot of them. And like, why is there so much overlap? Is because the one thing we have in common is that extra sensitive nervous system. So some of us are born with them, or some of us acquire extra sensitive nervous systems after trauma. So when we experience trauma, it changes our nervous system on like a physical, a cellular level. And so some of us, probably more than we realize, are a combination of both, being born with it and also acquiring even more sensitivities after trauma. And so for me, like, I would definitely fall into that category of being both. So for me, my personal opinion is that I have a demand avoidant profile. So as a child, I was born with an extra sensitive nervous system. I was always sensitive to demands, but it wasn't until years of living with a dysregulated nervous system without any support, plus living in a chaotic environment where I did not feel emotionally safe. I did not feel control over my environment, and that exasperated my demand avoidance, because again, it took away all this feeling of control that I had, that my nervous system was craving, that feeling of safety, feeling in control. And so all of that really just exasperated my demand avoidance, which during my nervous system burnout, my phases of being just in the depth of nervous system burnout, for some, it exasperates an individual's PDA, or it can trigger PDA symptoms. So some things to look at it is, like, were there signs before? Was it always there? Or did it just start? Did it kind of just happen out of nowhere? Did it happen just like in the midst of nervous system burnout? So the main thing that differs PDA from nervous system burnout related PDA or demand avoidance is that real PDA doesn't typically just go away. You learn to manage it. So for me, for example, demands will still trigger me. Not all demands. However, it is not at all like it was before. It is much more manageable through living a sensory lifestyle and keeping my nervous system regulated. And so, is it demand avoidance or is it PDA? So for me, my personal opinion is that PDA is a much bigger spectrum than society realizes at this moment. I think they're starting to realize it and they're starting to research more. But again, my opinion, PDA is a much bigger spectrum, and there's way more to PDA than has been researched or is being talked about, and it's still really just a baby diagnosis. It really hasn't been around that long at all. But what I do know is, similar with autism and ADHD and other diagnoses, there's a lot of overlap there. And so while I may not exhibit all the PDA symptoms, I exhibited, and overall resonate with a lot of them. And so many of my ADHD kids and adults that I've worked with, and just on other neurodivergency spectrum, also have very similar experiences. And so I'm hesitant to say that I am ADHD with the PDA profile, but what I will say is that I am ADHD on the demand avoidance spectrum. So for me, a demand avoidant profile brings a much deeper understanding of myself, of just allowing me to give myself more grace, more empathy, more patience for myself, something that is so incredibly important for neurodivergence, and just so incredibly important in healing to grow our self-love for ourselves compared to shaming ourselves. I spent so many years stuck in that shame loop, shaming myself for everything and anything. And again, partially from feeling broken and misunderstood. So I know that there'll be some people that disagree that PDA is an autistic profile only, but I invite you to just do a few things, maybe even start with a quick Google search, and even one of like the lead PDA communities, the PDA Society in UK, even states on their website. So right on their website, it says, widely understood to be a profile on the autism spectrum, though we are still at an early stage in our understanding, and PDA research is in its infancy. So it literally says it right there. But the second thing to consider, how this could help all the ADHD, anxiety, OCD, ODD, SPD kids and adults showing signs of demand avoidance and could benefit from a diagnosis, from having that understanding and from spreading the awareness about PDA and that it's not only tied and connected to autism. And so also, side note, it's important to remember that PDA is not an official diagnosis. So by diagnosis, I guess I more so mean a term to better understand what is going on internally. I know for me, it has definitely done that. And my hope always is to help make neurodivergent lives easier. I know firsthand how hard it is not having support, not having any type of awareness or education. And I also know how life-changing support and education can be. I wouldn't be here today. I literally would not be here today if it weren't for sensory therapy and learning about ADHD and my nervous system and all of the things. So as always, I want you to do what's best for you, to do what's best for your family, and to do what helps you feel empowered, to feel seen, to feel validated, to feel heard. And if you are experiencing nervous system burnout, or maybe your child with it, especially being the end of the school year, this is known as one of being like the most stressful times of year, apart from number one probably being the end of the year. But again, so like, what are some of the symptoms of nervous system burnout? So some of the symptoms of nervous system burnout is feeling unmotivated, feeling a lack of energy, not feeling as much energy as you typically do, feeling stuck. Stuck is really like the best word, my best way of defining nervous system burnout. Like, you know there's more, but you feel stuck in your body and your mind, and you feel stuck in freeze, fight, fawn, all the different trauma response states. Some other signs of nervous system burnout are demand avoidance symptoms. So when you feel like extremely out of control in your mind and your body, and you feel like you're desperately clinging to any small feeling of control you can get your hands on, feeling triggered by everyday demands or when you're being told what to do. It's also nervous system burnout. It's also cocooning internally for a while, like with this like constant desire to escape the pressure of the world and this constant feeling of restlessness in your body, not feeling safe and secure in your body and your mind and your nervous system. Like, you know you need support, but just having no idea where to start. It's also feeling constantly triggered, whether it's sensory triggers, demand triggers, like anything could be a trigger because you're just living in this hyper alert state that really leaves no room to relax, like truly relax. So if you or your child are experiencing nervous system burnout, first off, I just want to say I see you. And I just want to validate your experience and just how incredibly challenging it is. I've been there, I've lived it, and it is truly just one of the hardest things. If you or your child are experiencing nervous system burnout, or maybe in the past have experienced it, or maybe are more prone to going through and experiencing nervous system burnouts, I invite you to my newest live workshop, Burnout to Bloom, on June 7th. As someone who's experienced burnout many times and knows it very well, I will be teaching you all of the information and strategies that are most important to know about supporting burnout. My goal is to make overcoming burnout an easier journey instead of taking like this long, windy, bumpy road alone, instead to give you a little shortcut, give you some company, some support on like a smoother road with some prettier views along the way. And as always, just want to thank you so much for joining me. This community, it really means the world to me. I feel so grateful to be here and be able to share my experience with you all. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. Maybe give yourself some deep pressure love or your child some deep pressure love. Do something to give your nervous system some much needed love and to help it feel safe. Maybe call a loved one. Do an old hobby that you used to do that maybe brought you so much light, got you into that flow state that you forgot about. Maybe have up in your attic, maybe go run up there, get it out. But I wish all of you and your nervous system so much love and safety, and I will see you all again soon.